Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you right now, Young Donovan.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you for joining us tonight at Blog Talk Radio, my sister, my friend. We are an internet show designed to help women of all ages, creeds, colors, backgrounds, nationalities, educations, business women, housewives, students, single, married, and believers in God. Tonight, we just thank you for joining us for our last show for 2013, the last Monday of 2013. God has blessed us to be on the show all of this year, and we've had some magnificent topics. We've had some magnificent guests. We've had some glorious times in the Lord. Tonight, I just want to start off our show tonight by thanking all my listeners, all of those who have been with me throughout the year, my panel, which consists of Beverly, who is the primary host of our show, is the reason why we got this show started. She's the founder and president of Granny's Place. Beverly, if you're listening tonight, we thank God for you. We thank God for allowing you to give us this opportunity to have my sister, my friend. When Beverly first approached me with this show, she said, well, you're going to have to do it by yourself. And I kind of threatened. I said, well, if you're not going to be on with me, I'm not going to do it by myself. But God has so blessed me to give me the courage and the tenacity to want to just go ahead and do his will and host the show for my listening audience out there. We've been around the world with you. And again, I thank God for Beverly. Also, I thank God for my absent party, Sister Henderson, evangelist, teacher, minister, first lady, Sonara Henderson. I thank God for her and her contribution to the show. She's been with me throughout the year with some ups and some downs and some ins and some outs, but I thank God for her. I thank God for her wisdom, her anointing, and just her friendship, period. Sonara, if you're listed tonight, thank you for your participation and your support of the show. Also, I would like to thank Carol. Carol has been very instrumental in helping us with our topics, with our show in my life, and I've enjoyed having her on the panel with me. Carol, if you're listening, thank you so much for your contributions to the show. Thank you so much for just being a friend and helping me when I needed you, and when I called, you didn't ever tell me no. Thank you for just joining in with me and going through this year as a panel member. And also, when we first began, we had a sweet, loving, most gracious heart person that was with us. Her name was Yvonne Gonzalez. She took on this role to be a part of Granny's Place and to be a part of my sister, my friend. But things happened in her life where that she had to relocate to Washington, and that's where she's residing right now, and we're hoping in the future that she will come back and join us and be a part of my sister, my friend, our shows during the next year. I want to personally thank her for all of her wisdom, all of her knowledge, all of her contributions to the show, and I want to thank her for just being a good friend and being available for us in the times that she was. I just thank God for all of my members, my panel members, all of my listeners, all of those who've been listening in to us during the year here and there. I'd like to thank LaShawn. LaShawn has been one of our younger ladies that has been on the show, and she's loved to do the show, and I thank her for her contributions also, and as well as Keshava. Keshava is my girl. She's very straightforward. She was with us in the beginning also, and she since she works in the afternoon, and she's a coach for her volleyball team, I think, and her track, and she had to put us on hold for a while until she gets her schedule and stuff straight, but I thank God for her also. I thank God for my other panel members, Zakiya Lewis, who was my daughter, who has been on the show on several occasions, giving her opinion and straightforwardness. God bless her. I thank her for my other daughter, Chanel, who has been on our show telling about the goodness of God for herself. And I thank God for just everybody who, the guests that we've had on, the topics that we've discussed, the people that have come across our program just listening out there on the internet. I thank God for Ms. Wanda Randall, who has been on the show and has graciously give us her wisdom and knowledge of God and how we should conduct ourselves as ladies, and just giving us her guidance through Girl Talk, excuse me, which I appreciate her so much for doing the things that she's done for the show. She's been such an inspiration to us. We had Billy Thompson on the show, who helped us immensely in telling us about his book and his travels throughout the United States. And there are just so many people that I could thank right now. I'm sorry if I'm leaving anybody out personally. I don't mean to. It's just been a multitude of people that have been on. We've had friends. We've had people that people work with. We've had just all types of women sharing with us. We've had shows on domestic violence. We had shows on rape crisis. We try to give our sisters some knowledge, some resources, some information, some love, and some undergirding so that they would know how to conduct themselves and how to be protected during their walk in life with Christ, and also just let them know that we were here for them and that we want to be here for them continuously. We are happy to be able to come to you at this venue and say we love you and we wish you the best and Happy New Year to you. God bless each of you, and I want to say I love you all, and I thank you all for listening. Please continue to listen to us throughout the year. We will be back in 2014, hopefully stronger than ever, and with God's grace and mercy that He provides for each of us every day, that we can still give you some information. We can still help you in the things that you need help in. We still provide resources for you. We can still be there when you need us, because that's what we're all about, helping one another and seeing to each other's needs. We just thank you for your participation. We want God to continually bless you and keep you in His will and His way. We want God to just be there for you, and we pray that you will take a new life turn this year in 2014. We hope that you will set some goals for yourself that lead you to walk with God and to be develop a personal, more personal relationship with Him, and just let Him lead and let Him guide you throughout your year. God has been so gracious to us. God has been so good to us that we don't know, we can't say how much we can thank him. There's not enough words in our vocabulary, or not enough tongues in our mouths to say how much we thank God and how much we love him for taking care of us throughout this year. He has just been such a gracious and loving God. So, ladies, I want you to think about it. I want you to give him all the praise and give him all the glory. Tomorrow, we'll be at Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church in Joppy at 4802 Bremer Road for Night Watch. It starts at 9:30. It starts at 10:30. We'll be there praising God, bringing the new year in. And we hope that you will be somewhere thanking God when the new year comes in. We can be doing a lot of things, but the best thing we can do is be there with him and talking to him and giving him praise and giving him glory for the things that he's done for us. I can't express enough how good he's been. I can't express enough how good you've been to us on our show. And again, I want to say just thank you for just being here. Thank you for being my sister, my friend. Thank you for participating, for supporting, for giving us your encouragement, your opinions, your comments, and most of all, your love. You have made the show what it is today, and we want to hear from you next year. We want you to be more active in our show. We want you to not be afraid to call us and talk to us and be with us on our Monday nights from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. If you need to talk to us, we're going to be here for you. You can go to Granny's Place and .org and look us up on the internet. We're always here for you. Tonight, we don't have a panel. We don't have any comments or questions or discussions tonight. I just wanted to come on and say thank you for being with us, and thank you for your support. I hope that may God bless you and may he keep you. It's my prayer for you. And all of those that I did not mention by name, know that I love you, know that I appreciate you, know that I'm praying for you, that everything will go well in your life. And I'm going to have a small prayer, and then I'm going to leave you with Billy Thompson, my sister, my friend. Dear God, tonight, we just come thanking you for this opportunity once more again. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be able to come across the computer airways and reach around the world as my sister, my friend. Dear God, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and kindness. Father, if it has not been for you, we don't know where we would be today. But Father, we just thank you for loving us so much and for caring for us so much that you allowed us to be able to help others. You allowed us to be resourceful. You allowed us to be here for our sisters, Father. Father, we just ask blessings on all the listeners tonight. Father, we just ask a special blessing on those who have participated in the show, who have supported the show, who has called in to the show, who has given us comments and opinions about our topics tonight. Father, we just thank you for everything that you've done for my sister, my friend. God, I lift up our panel members tonight from the beginning to the present. God, I lift up Beverly to you tonight, God. Please continue to bless her. Please keep her. Please love her, Father, as you always have, and I know you always will. God, if there's anything that she needs tonight, bless her, Jesus. I ask you to keep my sister, my friend, Sister Sonara Henderson, dear God. Father, comfort her. Put your loving arms around her, Father. Keep her as only you can. Father, continue to lead and to guide her as she goes forward, dear God, in her life to Jesus. God, you know what she needs, Father. Bless her. Keep her in your will and in your way. Dear God, I just ask you to keep Keshava tonight, Father. You know the desires of her heart tonight, dear God. Would you just be with her? Would you just lead her? Would you just guide her? Would you just keep her also, Father, and guide her footsteps and keep her with the faith that she has in you, God. Keep her loving on her as she loves on you. Dear God, tonight I ask you to go to Washington tonight, God. I ask you to be with your bond tonight, God. I ask you to lift her head tonight, God. Strengthen her body tonight, God. Strengthen her mind and her heart, Father. Please continue to give her the desire to do your will and to go on in Jesus' name. Father, be a fence all around her, God. Keep her as only you can keep her. I just ask that you just be with her. Don't leave her, which you said that you never would, God. I ask you to be her strength, her guide, her confidant, Lord, help her tonight. Dear God, I ask a special blessing on Carol tonight, Jesus. Father, would you just be with Carol tonight? Father, whatever Carol needs, Jesus, just keep her in your will and keep her in your way. Father, continue to help her to be a provider and a source for her nieces and her nephews, dear God, and the children that she's attempting to raise today, God. Strengthen her. Strengthen her family. Give them peace. Give them love. Give them comfort tonight, God. And let them know that she'll be there for them just as you are here for us, dear God. Father, we just thank you tonight for all our panels. I ask you a special blessing on my friend Chanel, dear God. I ask a special blessing on my sister Janice, dear God. Father, you know all about her. Father, strengthen them. Keep them. Have your way with them tonight, God. Work in them tonight, God, as you know the desires of their heart, and to, as well as you know the desires of all of our hearts, dear God. Father, keep us in your will. Keep us doing what you have us to do. Help us to be strong. Help us to be encouraging. Help us to be uplifters. Help us to be undergirders, God. Help us to be keepers of for one another. Father, I just ask that you keep our pastors in your will and your way. Pastor Richard Terry, dear God, I ask a special blessing for him tonight, for Elder Michael Morgan Sr. tonight, dear God. And I just ask all the other pastors of my panels tonight, God, bless them. Keep them ahead of the flock. Keep them leading your children in the way that they should go. Father, we just thank you tonight. We just give you all the honor, all the glory. Father, if there's any illnesses among us tonight, God, heal as all you can. If there's any strife, any hatred, any hardened hearts tonight, God, heal us, God. Keep us, God. Lead us in the way that you will have us to go, Father. We need you tonight. We need you more than we ever needed you before, Father. Father, we are asking that you come and heal the land tonight, God. We ask you to give us all loving hearts, Father. And for those of us that are looking for better jobs or for jobs, God, grant it if you please, if you must, dear God, because we know you're able. You are able, dear God, to just keep us strengthened. Father, we ask that you fix our finances. We ask you fix our physical bodies, our mental bodies. Father, give us our minds tonight, Father. Help us to keep our minds tonight stayed on you, God, because we understand in your word, Father, if we seek you first, you will give us the desires of our heart, dear God. And we ask these blessings, God, in your Son Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. Thank you, Blog Talk listeners. I love you. Have a happy new year, and God bless you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to you Blog Talk listeners today. Thank you for joining us. We welcome you to our show tonight, my sister, my friend. We want to give a shout out to our partners, Reverend Terry over at First Free Will Baptist Church, and also Reverend Michael Morgan at the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church. And all those that are listening, thank you tonight for joining us.
Tonight we have a special guest tonight, an author of The Field Versus the Garden, a compelling book that sheds new light on sin and the devil, Minister Billy Thompson. Minister Thompson, would you go ahead and say hello to our listening audience and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hello. My name is Billy Thompson. I'm 33 years old. I've been in ministry for 21 years. I'm married. My wife and I have been married for 4 years. Just had our anniversary last week. We have no children at the moment, just a little puppy named Nyla. And we're currently living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where my wife is working on her master's.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, congratulations for 4 years of marriage. I didn't know it had been that long. Seemed like it was just yesterday when I saw all those beautiful pictures. Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and get started with our little talk tonight. We want you to go ahead and expound on the book and tell us the reason you wrote it and what is your passion about it, and just give us a little insight on the book.
Sure. Well, the name of the book is The Field Versus the Garden. And so we're comparing those two realities, life in the field and life in the garden. First, I have to tell you how the book came about. Basically, I felt the Lord speak to me years ago that he wanted me to write. And it's a feeling that just kept coming over and over again, and I would dismiss it. And I went to a church in Houston, and there was a woman of God there, and she says, "The Lord has a word for you." And I was ready to receive it, and she says, "God says write books, 10 books, not 9, but 10. She kept emphasizing, not 9, but 10. And what was funny is I hadn't written anything at all yet. And so what I did was, trying to be funny, is I turned on my computer, and I got a Word document, and I write the word chapter 1, and I press save. That's all I had. Chapter 1, I press save. And I was okay with that. And I went to another church, and there was a man of God, and he says, "God has a word for you again." And I said, "What is it?" And he says, "God says chapter 1 looks great. Now finish the book." And I thought that was kind of strange, because literally I did not have a chapter 1. All I had was the word chapter 1. And so I just said, "Okay, Lord, you want me to write this book? I need you to help me write it." And I just began to write a little bit at a time, and this book is what came out of my spirit, because I began to ask God what is it that was on his heart. And this book, The Field Versus the Garden, really goes back to Genesis. It goes back to the beginning. It goes back to the Garden of Eden, and it explores the story again of Adam and Eve from a unique and a different perspective to help us understand exactly where we are now and how we got to where we are now and how we can get from where we are now to where God wants us to be.
Okay. So you just had one chapter, just no chapter, it just said chapter 1.
Right. It wasn't even a chapter. I just wrote chapter 1 and pressed save. And to show you that God has a sense of humor, he says chapter 1 looks great. And I finished the book. And so I felt like God was reminding me strongly, yet encouraging me at the same time. And that's how God does. When he has something for us to do, he'll remind us and he'll remind us. And he'll put a little pressure on us, just like Jonah, when God told him to go. And God put a little pressure on him. But God still has a sense of humor with us, and he works with us where we are at our level. So that's how the book came about initially.
Okay, well, I wanted to ask you about the field. What does that symbolize, and what does the garden symbolize?
Well, I'll tell you. The field is a dry place, and the garden is a fertile place. If you think about the Garden of Eden originally, the Bible says it was in the east. The garden was not in the south. It was not in the west. It was not in the north. It was in the east. There was a specific location that God put that garden. And it was just a garden. It wasn't the whole world. And God told Adam and Eve in the beginning that they were to populate the world. And you remember that one of Adam's first assignments was to name the animals. Well, all of those animals were not in the Garden of Eden. If you remember Noah, all of the animals were with him on the boat. And you can imagine how crowded and cramped that was. So what happens is that God brought all the animals from around the world for Adam to name. So we know that horses are native to Spain, so they came from Spain, and Adam said, "You are a horse." Cats coming from Egypt, and Adam says, "You are a cat." And I believe that all the animals came from all over the field, all over around the world, into the garden to be named by Adam, and then they went back to where they belonged. If you remember, God's first assignment to Adam was to dominate the earth, to take dominion. There was no need to take dominion over the garden because the garden was a place of rest. It was a place of God's presence. But there was a whole world out there that yet needed to be conquered with the glory and the presence of God, and that's the field. The garden was always relatively small, and the field is all that land that's around it. It's that thing that needs to be conquered. If you remember the children of Israel, when God brought them out of Egypt, he says, I'm taking you to a land like nothing you've never known before. It flows with milk and honey. But to get there, we're going to have to go through the wilderness, through the dry places. In the wilderness, that's where the snakes are. And so the field is basically that place where God's presence is not. It's that place that we have to conquer and bring the garden to. The garden is wherever God is. Because wherever God is, that place is blessed. And a lot of times as Christians, we kind of huddle. We don't want to get in politics. We don't want to get in education. We kind of let the world go to hell in a handbasket, as they say. But God has called us to take dominion. We're to go into politics. We're to go into education. We're to go into every man's world and bring God's glory and God's light. And this book talks about how to take God's glory into places where you are, into your home, into your workplace, into your school, but to not hide as a Christian. We're not ostriches. We cannot hide our head in the sand. But we're to take dominion over this world like God gave us. And that's what the book is primarily about. And that's the field. That's that dry place, that barren place. But God doesn't want the world to stay a field. He wants it to be a garden.
Okay. In light of that, does anyone have any questions before I continue, panel, or anyone on the line listening? And right here I want to ask that those that are listening, they can call 310-982-4126 if you have any questions for Minister Thompson. Just dial 310-982-4126, and we will take your call, and he will answer your questions. Does anyone have any questions at the moment?
I guess I can jump in here, Lashandra.
Okay.
This is Carol. Good evening, everyone. Since, you know, this is my nephew, so I, of course, have read the book, and it is a very good read, and it's a very thought-provoking read. If you're looking for something, where it really helps, it really asks you to ponder some thoughts and some things and learn, that's what I believe. Anything that generates a bunch of conversation and a lot of thought, it you end up learning a lot about God's Word. And so, as a person who's read the book and as one who can give a little short review on it, I can tell you that, there's a lot of great things to come out of it. I say it's good for individuals. It's great for a Bible study group. And it's great for just you having it at home with your family because you're going to get a lot of good information out of it. He's a very educated man, but he wrote the book in a prose that is very easy to read, and so you won't be intimidated by it. All of us don't have to have attended seminary to understand what he's saying. That's a good thing. But I will want to ask my nephew about a question in the book. He makes reference to chapter 9, the two Adams, which I thought was very powerful and thought provoking for us Christians. And he talked about Jesus, the begotten son, and Adam, the first created son. And so, Boogie, can you, Reverend Nephew Billy Thompson, could you speak on, I think you were making a comparison about those, and could you talk about that chapter for us briefly?
Right. Well, Paul talks about the second Adam, and the second Adam is Jesus. So basically, the things that Adam got us into, such as sin, Jesus gets us out of. And so Jesus came to do what Adam couldn't do. And Adam could not take the world back. It's kind of like this. If I was to loan someone a tie, if I was to loan a man a tie, and then he gave that tie to someone else and I saw the guy on the street and said, hey, give me back my tie, he's going to be like, you can't take my tie. You didn't give it to me. So the only way I can get it back is through the person I gave it to. And so what happened was God gave this whole world and all its dominion to Adam. And Adam turns around and gives it to the devil. And God sees the devil with his world and say, hey, what are you doing with my world? Give it back. And the devil basically says, well, Adam gave it to me, so you can't take it back. And so that puts God in kind of a situation. God could just literally take it back because he's in control. But God has set certain laws in place, and God never violates his own law. And so basically God says, well, man gave it to the devil, so only man can get it back. But there is no man worthy enough and strong enough to fight the devil. So here's what I'll do. I'll become a man myself, and as a man, I'll take it back. And so that's where Jesus comes in as the second Adam. He's the one that he's God, but he's also man. He's not half God, half man. He's 100% God, and he's 100% man. So that gives him the ability to hold our hand as humans and to hold God's hand as the Father and to connect us. And he's able to walk that line between the two worlds. And so Jesus basically goes to the devil and takes his keys back and says, this world now belongs back to us. And in Christ, we can have our power back. In Christ, we can have our authority back. The devil doesn't have the right to do the things that we allow him to do. And the only reason the devil gets to do half the things he does now is because we as Christians don't know our authority. We don't know our power. We don't know our position in Christ. And we're letting the devil run amok. Let me put it this way. In Genesis, he's only a serpent, a little small serpent. If you go to the book of Revelation, the end of the book, he's a great dragon. What happened? How did this snake become a dragon? In the book, I talk about how the serpent was commanded to eat dust. And if you remember, man is made from dust. We're made from dirt. So now the serpent has an appetite for flesh or for dirt or for man. And so we who live in sin, we begin to feed the devil. And so he may come into our life as a small serpent individually, but if we keep feeding him with our lifestyle of sin, then he begins to grow into a big dragon. So basically the devil is getting more and more power every day because we feed the dragon. And so what we talk about in this book is how to make the devil, put him back in his place, to put him back as that small serpent in the garden that Adam had control over. Because right now many people see him as that big dragon that they fear. Many people fear the Antichrist or the things that are coming in this world. They fear what the devil is doing. But basically we have no reason to fear because Jesus has given us all authority through him as the second Adam. He has the power to take it back. We can't take it back in and of ourselves. I can't say devil in the name of Billy. The devil ain't listening to me. But when I say in the name of Jesus, who is the second Adam, he has to come subject. By coming in a man's name, I'm coming in the name of God. And that's one thing that, Satan fears more than anything is Jesus. If you notice with politics, they always say, God bless you. At the end of speeches, people say, God bless you. No one's offended because no matter what your religion is, you can call him God. But when you say Jesus, people get nervous. When you say Jesus, people get mad. And here's the reason why. Whenever Satan hears the name Jesus, he has to admit that God defeated him. God kicked his butt, but not as God, because that's easy. God destroyed the devils as a man. He destroyed, when he got on the cross, he destroyed the kingdom of Satan as a man. And Satan hates to admit that. So when you say in the name of Jesus, it makes demons fear because they have to admit that God defeated Satan at his weakest point as a human. That makes him the second
Adam. That's really powerful. Now, I was sitting here thinking, well, there are many obstacles or hesitations or anything that hindered you in completing this book, or how long did it take you to complete it?
I'm going to say anything I've ever attempted for God has come up with major resistance from hell. Nothing comes easy when you're serving God. When it's too easy, that makes me nervous, because anything that Satan isn't trying to fight you with, then that means he's not afraid of. So, yeah, definitely. There was a lot of attacks to my body while I was writing it, just sicknesses that were hitting me, just different kinds of things where Satan kept trying to destroy me and distract me from writing it. But that just empowered me all the more to say, you know what, this has to be finished. This has to be done, because there's no way I'm going to let the devil silence me on this. Because he's afraid of what will happen if people actually understand what he's about. I feel like my ministry is twofold, to reveal Jesus and to expose the devil. If we can reveal Jesus so people can know clearly who he is and then expose the deceiver for what he is, then that is pretty much the purpose of why we're here. And Satan does not want to be exposed. He wants people to think that he's okay. You know, when we have those images of Satan, he has the long horns and the pitchfork and the tail. You know, we've kind of made the devil into a cartoon character, so we're not really afraid of him. The devil is nothing like that. He looks like anybody else. He has smooth hair, smooth voice. I mean, when he comes in a way that is very subtle. And that's kind of what the book is about, too, because I talk about how to protect your garden. Your garden is your heart. And Satan wants to come in. And the Bible says in Solomon, it says, beware the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's always those little bitty subtleties that come in. Satan is too smooth to come in with a pitchfork and a tail. He's too smooth for that. He comes in as your best friend. He comes in as your Judas. He comes in as the one kissing you on the cheek and stabbing you in the back at the same time. So a lot of it is betrayals of friends, just different things going on while writing this book with Satan showing his head. But it didn't matter because it was going to get done. But it did take a while.
You did keep pressing. So is the book long, or
it's not a long book. The book is only about 70 pages long. I've written 7 books, actually, and all of them were no more than 30 to 40. And I'll tell you, when this book was written, it was really 150 pages when I first finished it. And I reduced it back down because I know that most people, I'm a former reading teacher and a reading specialist, and I know that most people do not like to read. And I don't want a book that people will say, well, I have a copy of the book and it's on my shelf. I don't want something that's going to decorate someone's shelf. I want something that someone is going to be able to read. It's a small read. It can be read in one sitting. It can be read in less than an hour if you just sit down and focus on it. You will have to read it more than once because it's just power-packed with nuggets of revelation that God gave. But we try to always reduce our books down to about 30 to 40 pages just so that people can really digest what can be said. So it's not a long read. I don't think I'll ever write a long book.
Is your book like a series that you've written other books? I mean, is it just
each one of them
all
different topics
to this book?
They're all varying topics, actually. Like this one really is about the struggle between good and evil and the role we play in it. I have another book that's called How Long, and it's answering the question of God, where are you and why have you not helped me? You've made me promises, and God, it seems like you're not listening to me. And it deals with the frustration of what's going on with God when God seems to be absent. I have another book. It's called God's Will, which was actually my first book. And that book was born out of growing up in a church where people would pray powerful prayers and say, Lord, heal them. And then they would end it with, if it be your will. And they kind of cop out because they didn't seem like they knew what God's will was. And so I just read Genesis to Revelation, finding every scripture where God says, and I will do it, and I will do it, and I will do it. And I use that book to this day when I pray. And I stand on God's word because I say, God, you said it in your word, so I know it to be true. And so that book is just about what God's will is, so we can pray with absolute confidence. And then I have another book. It's called Not My Will, and that's the struggle that we have for doing God's will. You know, when we come and pray, we come as a capital I that has to lowercase ourselves as a small I before his I. And what I mean by that is we all have an ego. We all have an I want to do it my way, I, like Frank Sinatra.
Right.
And when we come before Jesus, we have to say, you're the big I and I'm the little I. My I is not capitalized. I have to lowercase myself. Like John Baptist, I must decrease that he must increase. And so that scripture, that book is about learning how to die to yourself that you can do the will of God.
But with that said, what would be, I know, you know, your latest book that just came out, but my question would be, what would be the book that you would recommend anybody read first? I mean, because it takes a build-up to get to a certain point to each understand or comprehend, and you don't want to purchase a book and dive into that book and kind of understand but not really know, you know what I'm saying? So what would you recommend that you would start at to build up to being strong enough to accept the message that you're bringing? Because if you're not strong enough to receive, or if your heart is not open up enough, or you're not willing enough to conceive what your latest book has to say, it's like it's falling on deaf ears.
Right.
Or
well,
if you're not recording your walk. You know what I'm saying?
I would say two things to that. One, for any Christian that is developing in their walk with God, I'm going to recommend the book of John in the Bible, just the Gospel of John. The Bible says, these are written that you may believe. And I'm going to recommend anyone starts there if they have any level of immaturity. But I'll tell you one thing about all of my books is all of my books are based on nothing but scripture. Because I believe that everything has to rise and fall on scripture, because I know that one day I'm going to stand in front of the great judge himself, and I'm not going to want to be guilty of having said anything that hasn't been backed up with Bible.
Right.
And this book in particular, I think, will be great even for a foundational Christian, because I do start with Genesis. I do start with the very foundation, yeah, the very first family, and explain this is what sin is. This is why God sees it this way. This is what we need to do to live our daily lives. It kind of builds up to a point of how we got into the mess that we're in the first place and how to daily walk our lives the way God wants us to walk. So I would give this book to anyone old enough to read.
Okay.
Have you written? Go ahead.
But I'm also a school teacher, so I mean, I've taught every grade from pre-K to 12th grade except for grade 10. So I try to write where children can understand me.
Okay.
That was my question. I was going to ask you, have you written any books on the line of children's books? Or
I do have one book. It's not a children's book. I have a book that's called Teaching Your Children God's Commands, and it's about the Ten Commandments, and it's really a book that was designed for parents to read to their children. A child could read it, but it's really a parent who says, look, I'm not sure how to raise a Christian child. I'm not sure how to teach my kid right from wrong. And so the book is geared toward the mom and dad sitting there reading it as a bedtime story for their kids. So that's the first book and probably the only book I've done so far that really keeps children directly in mind. But anything I write, I'm keeping in mind that all of us are at different levels in our walk with God.
Right.
The book I have with How Long, I mean, I don't care how, you can be saved 5 minutes, you can be frustrated with God. Because God is so complex. He's so amazing. He's so loving. But we don't always understand him. And there's so much about God we're not going to get on this side of the world. And so I try and deal with, in that book, How Long, with the frustration that we as Christians have with God. And at the end of the book, I actually deal with God's frustrations with us.
Oh, that's
I try to create the balance where in the beginning of the book is us asking heaven how long, and at the end of the book is heaven asking us how long. Because what's funny, God showed in the revelation of God says, I have that same question for you.
Exactly. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, and is there anywhere you can purchase, like, all your books, like, as a set, or they're all individually priced, or?
Well, this is the first, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Like the lady who prophesied to me and said God said write 9 books, not 10, and I hadn't even written one yet. I've been doing a lot of, I've been writing, and so all of them have been self-published, and so all of them have only been released whenever I go somewhere to minister, and this is the first one that God said, I want you to release this one, like, out in the public now. So I feel like this one is a book that's on God's heart right now. I am going to release the rest of them probably once, every month I'll release a new one. But because I have 7 finished, and I'm working on an 8th one right now. But this one was the one, because this one wasn't written first. This one was written about, this was actually the last one I wrote, but this is the one that God says, this is the one that needs to be heard. So I don't know if God has a favorite book, but I think if he had one, it's probably this one.
But that's a good question, right? Her, Billy, that's a good question that she said you can get them in sets, because being my nephew, I've collected a copy of all of them, the ones that he has, and I was thinking, like she was thinking, I was like, hey, I need this as a set, and then I can go from one to the other, but my Reverend Billy is very right about that, you know. Any book you delve into, no matter where you are in your walk with Christ, you'll get it. And like I said, the prose is very easy going, very, very understandable. You know, anybody can read. If you can read, you can get book and get something out of it. And it really is a very good prose.
I studied Greek and Hebrew as a student, so those are languages I'm fluent in reading it and writing it. And I use a lot of Greek and Hebrew in the book, but you wouldn't notice it. Because I don't go around quoting a bunch of big words and say the Hebrew says this and the Greek says that. I use it without you realizing I'm using it. I just take the knowledge I have of Hebrew and Greek and further explain what God has shown me. So you're sitting there learning Greek and Hebrew without even knowing Greek and Hebrew, because it's not about impressing you with a bunch of big words, because who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care how big your vocabulary is. If you don't understand it, then it's, what's the point?
Exactly.
Yeah, so I'm trying to.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for that. Don't call me by the book and I sit down because I have no understanding.
Yes. Okay. Billy, I wanted to ask, where can your book be found? What bookstores, yeah, or can we go online?
Right now, it's available on Amazon as well as Barnes & Noble.
Right.
Okay. And you can get it on Kindle because I got mine on Kindle.
Yes, and you can get it as an instant download on a Kindle. I have a Kindle. I love it because I get to carry my whole library when I'm on the plane. So I have lots of books, including my own.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah. Kindle is great.
Well, Billy, I wanted to ask one more question, and then I'll open it back up. What is your most favorite part of this book, or what is your most pointed, what that you like most about it? Okay, somebody is, hello, somebody is interfering with the conversation. Please mute your phone if you're going to talk in the background. Thank you. Go ahead, Billy.
Basically, the whole point of the book for me is revealing who Jesus is. Because I believe that basically the whole point of my ministry can be found in this book. And that's to introduce people to Jesus. If you remember John the Baptist, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." I mean, he did a lot of preaching, repent, repent. But the pinnacle of his ministry was to say, everyone, take your eyes off me and look at Jesus. And this book, I think, reintroduces Christians to Jesus, as well as maybe Christian sinners, introduces them to Jesus. So hopefully it gives you a new respect. Because a lot of times we don't really understand what salvation is. When someone says, "I'm saved," what does that mean? Saved from what? When we use language that we're used to as Christians, but people in the world think we're nuts. And I think when you read this book, you'll kind of understand exactly what it means we're saved from and what we're saved to. What exactly does that mean? So I think for me, the understanding that God gave me, because even as I was writing, I hate to put it this way, but I felt like I was just so inspired because there came a point where I woke up in the middle of the night after trying to just write and write and write. Because when you write a book, to answer your earlier question, how long did it take to write? A lot of the books I've written have taken months, some have taken a couple of years. But this one, there was a moment when I woke up in the middle of the night and I turned on my computer and I just started typing. And I started typing. I can't remember what time it was, but I did not stop typing until the sun came up. And when the sun came up, I pressed save and I knew I was finished. Because I felt like God just literally downloaded revelation to me. And so even when I read it, I'm just kind of amazed because I'm like, I didn't learn any of this in seminary. I've been to seminary, but the revelation that God gave me in the book, I didn't learn it in seminary. I just felt like God gave it to me. And before I even released it, I let a few of my seminary professors read it to make sure, you know, was it still biblical? Was it sound? And they're like, yeah, that's Bible there. And I'm like, good, because I felt like God gave it to me. I just want to check it with some more people to make sure that it's on point. But I really feel like it's something that God just gave me. So I'm really proud of the whole book. It has nothing to do with my ability to write. I've never really cared much for writing, to be honest with you. I mean, I can take you back to eighth grade, Miss Patterson's class at W.H. Gaston Middle School, telling Miss Patterson, why do I need to learn how to type? I'm never going to type. I'm going to be a preacher. And little did I know, you can't live in this world today without a computer. And little did I know that God would call me to write. So it tells you how smart you think you are when you're 13. But a lot of people are that way, no matter how old they are. They think they have it all figured out. They think they know what they need. They think they don't know what they don't need. But you just don't know what God is going to use. But writing is something that I really haven't really had a desire for, but God put it in me and just said, I want you to release it. And so we're just being obedient. Like I said with that whole chapter one, I thought I was getting away with it. And God's like, yeah, that looks great. Now finish it. So I just feel like we're being obedient to what God has. And that may be for someone listening. You know, God is not going to keep speaking. He's already told you what to do, so go ahead and do it.
Oh, that brings about a point. Do you have anything in your book, anything in your book that is pointed to that direction by letting us know how do we perceive or how do we understand what God is telling us to do?
I have another book called Hearing Heaven's Frequencies, where I talk about how to hear the voice of God. And I talk about the different ways. I first heard the voice of God when I was 5 years old. That's when I first knew for a fact that God spoke to me. It was very clear and very precise. I didn't know it was God, but that voice kept coming to me. And usually God would speak to me when I was in the shower. And I've heard God's voice in many different ways. I mean, God speaks in dreams. He speaks in visions. He speaks in impressions. He speaks in just this kind of a pull. I mean, just as simple as you thinking about somebody, that may be God telling you to pray for them. A lot of times we dismiss God. We use this phrase, something told me I should have did that. It's not something. It was someone. And the more you obey God, the clearer God's voice becomes. Because God is talking. He calls himself the Word. Anyone who calls himself the Word likes to talk. God talks more than we realize. God's talking every day. But most of us are asking God to speak, and God said, I've already spoken. But here's my advice I'll give to anyone who wants to hear God. Read the Bible. Because the thing is, this is what God told me. He says, you want to hear my voice, but you're not reading what I've already said. I've already spoken to Jeremiah. Go read what I told him. I've already spoken to Isaiah. Read what I told him. Until you respect what I've already said, you don't deserve to hear anything else I have to say. So I would say to anyone who wants to hear God, read your Bible. That's where you start.
That's an interesting point.
Because why should God say anything new? We ain't been obeying half the commandments he already told us.
You're right about that. A lot of us don't, and I can attest to that because sometimes I'm just out of his will myself, and I have to.
Yeah, well, we always know more than we do.
Mm-hmm.
You have about that?
Does Beverly or LaShawn or anyone have any questions for Minister Thompson? LaShawn?
I think you might
have a question, right?
Okay, my question is, have you ever, in your book, because I hadn't read your book yet, and I was trying to see in your book, have you ever spoke about battling with something that God has, that you know for sure God is telling you to do, but you just it don't feel right to do it? You don't know whether it's God pressuring you to do it or if you're just at a, like, it's like you're at a standstill about something?
Right. Well, I'll tell you one thing about I've learned about the Lord. God doesn't push. He leads. If you remember Jesus, it says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You can be going into a bad situation and it still be God. So sometimes we think if it's not always 100% good, it's not God. God can lead you into a tough situation. But notice he was led by the Spirit. But Satan is the one. He will get behind you and push you. Anytime you feel pushed, it's the devil. When you feel wooed, and God woos you. He's a lover. He loves us. And he woos us. And he says, please come. Come away with me, my beloved. Anytime you feel pulled gently, that's the Holy Spirit. He never pushes us. And sometimes Satan can push you to do something that is a God thing, but he pushes you because he wants you to do it his way. Example, God told Jesus, if you die on the cross, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. That's a promise from the Father. But it's going to cost him no cross, no crown. Satan comes along and says, look, forget all that cross business. If you bow down to me right now, I'll give you all the kings of the world right now. And the reason that was a legitimate temptation for Christ, because a temptation is something that you want to have. Jesus wanted to have the kingdoms of the world. Satan was saying, I'll give you a shortcut. You can have it without the cross. And that's all Satan does. He tries to come to us with a shortcut. You can have the sex before the marriage. He always offers us what God offers us, but he offers us at a discount. It ain't going to cost you nothing. You can have it right now. It ain't going to cost you nothing, even though it's going to cost you everything. It's like a drug dealer. Go ahead, try it. First time it's free. Yeah, it might be free, but it's going to cost you a whole lot more than you realize. So anytime you feel pressure or you feel like you're getting a shortcut, I would beware. And also the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there is great wisdom. So I would always get good advice. For me, I check everything against my pastor and say, hey, what do you think? That doesn't mean my pastor will control my decisions, but I trust my pastor, since I call him pastor, to have already been there and done that on certain things. And hopefully he or she has enough wisdom to say, no, I think you need to keep praying about that decision. And if they're like, yeah, I think that's good, then I'll take that as an amen from the Holy Spirit, because God confirms it. If you notice Paul, he says, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to do such and such. So I would just surround yourself with good people who have the mind of Christ And then when you throw it against them, if they can honestly tell you what's wrong with it, then reconsider. And if they don't see anything wrong with it, then take it as a green light. Not every open door is God, I'll tell you that. Sometimes God will open a door just to see if you'll walk through it. It's like that commercial, this is just a test. Sometimes God will put opportunity in front of you just to see if you'll obey him. He'll give you an opportunity and say, then don't walk through it. And then it's a test, because if you don't walk through it, he has something even better for you. But basically, God is gentle. He leads gently. He'll never push you.
Okay, I kind of understand it, but I kind of believe that we don't, that, how can I put it, like, I've been in situations to where I feel like I'm being turned to do something, even if I know it's, you know how, like, you have this side of you that feel like it's right, and to go ahead and do it, and I mean,
well, Blog Talk listeners, we have concluded another year, 2013. We thank God for this year. Again, I say thank you to all of my panel members, all of my callers, all of my listeners, all of my participants, all of my friends and loved ones, and those that have supported Blog Talk Radio, my sister, my friend, those that have listened in, I appreciate you, I love you, and I wish you the best. And with that being said, Happy New Year to you, God bless you, and God keep you. This is my prayer. We will see you again on next Monday from 8 to 9 at my sister, my friend, Blog Talk Radio. Feel free to call us and talk to us. And lift. Please continue to lift us up in your prayers, as we will keep you lifted up in ours. Happy New Year to each of you. God bless.